with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. Or Ecclesiastes 4:13, better was a poor and wise youth than old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. So there are words of wisdom in this literature. And these five Old Testament books are full of such statements. In addition to those kinds of statements, there are stories in the Bible which show us something about the application of wisdom. For example, in 1 Kings 3, we find David has died and Solomon has been appointed his successor as king. And at the beginning of his reign, God asked Solomon, "What would you like to have from me?" And Solomon answered, "Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong." He asked for wisdom to govern well, give me a discerning heart. And he had to apply this in his reign. Later on in 1 Kings chapter 3, you have the case of two women, each had a baby. One rolled on top of her baby in the night, and the baby died. And then she switched babies with her friend and claimed that the living baby was hers. So the case went to King Solomon, who said, "Well, since we can't resolve this one way, I think I should order just that the living child be cut in two and half be given to one mother and half to the other." And of course, the real mother said, "Oh no, even if I have to give up custody, don't harm the child." And Solomon saw her as the one telling the truth, and he was acclaimed for the wisdom he showed in settling that matter. In other places in the Bible, we have people acting wisely. The book of Daniel, we see cases like this. In chapter 2, Daniel displayed wisdom in his decision to honor God, and he credited God with enabling him to interpret a dream of the king. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, praised God and Daniel when he said, "God gives wisdom to those who have understanding." And of course, if we move into the New Testament, in the life of Christ, we see Christ himself showing wisdom. He told the audience who were accusing an adulterous woman and they were calling for her stoning, Jesus said, "Okay, let the one of you that is without sin cast the first stone." And nobody would make that claim. And he said to the woman that she could go in peace and sin no more. And he instructed the Pharisees who came to him saying, "Do your disciples pay tax to Caesar?" And Jesus answered that what belonged to Caesar should be given to Caesar, and what belonged to God should be given to God. And he applied this principle of the wisdom and gave an example of wisdom in Luke 4 when he was assailed by Satan with temptations. And Christ quoted scripture. He was familiar with the scripture that could answer those temptations. So what I'd like to talk about today is what wisdom is, how would we describe the character of wisdom, and also what benefits does the Bible identify as being available to us? If wisdom is beneficial, then where will we look? Where will we find wisdom? How do we acquire it? So we begin with trying to understand what wisdom is in the first place. The Oxford Canadian Dictionary says that wisdom is experience and knowledge with the power of applying them critically or practically. It is not just knowledge, not just experience, but it is an ability to apply those things. It's not the same as knowledge. In fact, many people gain knowledge in various ways, but use it maliciously for bad purposes. A person can acquire knowledge through schooling or self-study or experience, but wisdom has to do with how we apply it, how we use it. Consider what God's word says about the character of wisdom in James chapter 3. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Now, if you were to look at this passage as a whole in the book of James, in the third chapter, you'd see that before he makes this statement about wisdom from above, he talks about things that are not wise, like holding bitterness towards someone, or jealousy, or selfishness is not wise, or boasting. On the contrary, he says, it is something that is pure. It does not have a sinful attitude or motive. It is peaceable. That is the opposite of those with unwise behaviors like selfish ambition. It is gentle. That is, it extends to others what we would like them to extend to us. It is open to reason. In other words, it is willing to listen. It is full of mercy. In other words, it is kind and not judging. It is something that produces good fruit, righteous fruit. It is impartial, which suggests being fair-minded. And it is sincere. In other words, it is honest and not deceptive. If you've seen these kinds of qualities in others, you probably also have concluded these people often show wisdom. And so these qualities are ones which display that a person has wisdom. Another way to understand and appreciate God's teaching about wisdom is to consider its benefits. First of all, God's wisdom is blessed, beautiful, and better than gold. It is precious. We find this in the psalm that, or the Proverbs that we read, Proverbs 3. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Key words there: blessed, better, and precious. As it, and then it goes on in Proverbs, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. So here we see words and phrases like wisdom being life for us, an adornment for us, a secure way to walk, and a peaceful way to lie down. So wisdom does those kinds of things, blesses us, is beautiful and better than anything else. It also preserves and protects. In Ecclesiastes 7, we read, wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. A wise person will be making choices that tend to lead to a better way to live and protects our life. Proverbs 2 says, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. So wisdom has a preserving and protecting quality. The writer in Proverbs says, it delivers you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of righteous uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness. So it is delivering from evil and protective from walking in dark paths. So we have benefits that describe or preserve, protect, secure us, and these are benefits that follow from being wise in the way that God suggests. So we move on to how to acquire it. If wisdom is all these bountiful and wonderful things, then we ought to be interested in how we can acquire it. And the first way to acquire it is to seek for it, to spend time searching. Proverbs 2, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we are to call out and seek wisdom. Well, where do we find it? Where do we seek it? Well, we search for it in the way you might expect. If a new believer were asking you for advice on how to get a good start on the Christian walk, you might say, well, you should pray. You should go to church. The Bible says don't forsake assembling together. But you should also read your Bible, we would say, because that is where we will find wisdom. We seek it in the scriptures. Just like the Sunday school chorus that many of us would have sung when we were younger, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. This is where you find wisdom. Or the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the Bible. And there are hymns in our hymnals, hymns we're familiar with, that we sing in church, hymns about the Bible. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in God's excellent Word. Or the hymn, Holy Bible, Book Divine, Precious Treasure, Thou Art Mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am. Or other verses of that hymn, mine to chide me when I stray. This is the Bible the hymn writer is talking about. Mine to show a Savior's way. Mine art thou to guide my feet, mine to judge, condemn, acquit. Mine to comfort in distress, if the Holy Spirit bless. Mine to show by living faith we can triumph over death. Mine to tell of joys to come and the rebel sinner's doom. Holy Bible, Book Divine, Precious Treasure, Thou Art Mine. And there's another hymn I would like to quote from. Thy Word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers bright and fair, and everyone who seeks may pluck a lovely cluster there. Your Word is like a deep, deep mine, and jewels rich and rare are hidden in its mighty depths for every searcher there. Your Word is like a starry host, a thousand rays of light are seen to guide the traveler and make his pathways bright. Your Word is like an armory where soldiers may repair and find life's long battle's day all needful weapons there. So we seek for God's wisdom from the Bible. Are you doing this? Do you have a regular and good habit of reading the scriptures? In 2022, the Canadian Bible Society funded a survey which asked Canadians about their Bible reading. How often do you read the Bible, Quran, Hindu text, or the Torah, or some other sacred text, was the question. Answer, 56% of those questioned said they never read the Bible or any other so-called sacred texts. 56% said never. 21% rarely. 7% said, I read it a few times a year. 10% said they read it at least monthly. And only 6% said they daily read the Bible. Where do you fit in this survey? If you were honestly to ask the question, what would be your answer? Amongst which percentage would you fall? So we are first to seek wisdom in God's Word. Second, we are to learn it from others. Proverbs 2:6, the Lord gives wisdom, but we also read in Proverbs 27:17 that from iron sharpens iron like one man sharpens another. We can learn and prosper from the advice received from others. Now, these others may be spiritual teachers, like your pastor, or others who fellowship with you. They may be respected advisors, authors, and so on. As long as we're careful not to respect every comment in social media as having wisdom, far from it, but we do seek it from people whom we can trust. So we seek it in God's word, we learn from others, and we listen, thirdly, to what Jesus says and do what he says. Matthew 7:24. Jesus is speaking. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on again that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus is saying, listen to what I have to say and do it. Obey what I have to say. Colossians 2:3 says, Christ is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus spent 3 years mentoring the disciples and others of his followers. You should allow him to mentor you. Look for his words. You find in the Gospel of John many of the words of Jesus, more so even than in the other Gospels. You find in Matthew 5:6-7, Jesus' teaching that we call the Sermon on the Mount, with a lot of wisdom in there about many topics. So read, listen, and obey what Jesus says. So we've considered wisdom, what it is, its benefits, how to acquire it. And finally, we need to sum this up by talking about the source of true wisdom, namely God himself. Proverbs 2:6, the Lord gives wisdom. James 1:5-6, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. God is our source, God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Also in James 3, we read, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere, as we were talking about earlier. Or we read in Job 28, he said to the man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. What is this fear of the Lord? This is an expression that is found at least 27 times in the Bible. More than half of those times are in the book of Proverbs. It is found in Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Colossians, and other places. So let's think a little more about this expression, the fear of the Lord. One writer observes this: the concept of the fear of the Lord is a foundational theme throughout the Bible, representing a profound reverence and awe for God, which is integral to a life of faith and obedience. This fear is not merely an emotion, but a deep-seated respect that influences one's actions and decisions, aligning them with God's will. So the fear of the Lord is a profound reverence and awe for God. It is a deep-seated respect that influences our decisions. Early in the scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, we find instructions with regard to the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me, God says, and keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Or chapter 6:13 in Deuteronomy, it is the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. So it is out of respect for God, profound reverence for God, it is out of fear, the fear of the Lord, that we serve him, worship him, and obey his commandments. And if we skip ahead to the New Testament in the book of Acts, we see that the growth of the early church and its spiritual strength are linked to this fear of the Lord, to this submission to him and his teachings. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. So the church multiplied as it had showed this proper fear of the Lord. So collectively we are to fear God. Individually we are to fear God, respect and follow his ways. So as we do so, he will lead us to practice holy living. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion. Where? Bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And the fear of the Lord produces humility, worship on our part, expressions of gratitude to God. As we read in Hebrews 12, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. It is this fear of reverence for God that makes us wise. And here is how one Bible teacher sums up this teaching. Wisdom, in biblical terms, is not merely knowledge, but a deep understanding that aligns to God's will. It is the ability to make decisions that reflect divine truth, guiding us through complexities of life with clarity and discernment. Wisdom is about seeing the Word of God from God's perspective, seeing the world from God's perspective, and applying his principles to all situations. Will you allow God to make you a person of wisdom through seeking his word, hearing the words of Christ, taking counsel from respected people, and submitting to the Lord's teaching? Shall we pray? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you have instructed us in the way of wisdom. We wish to have this wisdom from above. Help us then to be faithful in seeking it in the ways you have told us, where in how you have told us we will find it. And so we pray that you would guide us in this week, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.